morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Melcor REIT First Quarter 2017 conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Naomi Stefura, Chief Financial Officer of Melcor REIT. Please go ahead, Ms. Stefura.
Thank you, Paul. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining our conference call and webcast for the first quarter of 2017. On the call with me this morning are Andrew Melton, President and CEO of the Melcor REIT, and Darren Rayburn, President and CEO of Melcor Developments and former CEO of the Melcor REIT. If you have not reviewed the materials related to this call, including the management's discussion and analysis and the financial statements, they are available on the investor relations section of our website at melcorreit.ca and on sedar.com. Our goal is to keep our remarks to a brief high-level review of the quarter and then open up the call for your questions. Before turning it over to Darren and Andy to discuss our results, I have a few mandatory statements to make. First, certain statements made during this call may be forward-looking. For a complete discussion of items that may cause actual results to differ, please refer to the business environment and risk section of our annual management discussion and analysis. Second, we report our financial results in Canadian dollars and in accordance with IFRS. We supplement our financial reporting with non-standard measures, including funds from operations, adjusted funds from operations, and net operating income. We believe these measures are important in evaluating our performance, but caution listeners that they may not be comparable to similar measures presented by other companies. These non-standard measures are defined and reconciled in our MD&A. I will now walk everyone through some of the financial highlights of our results for the quarter ended March 31st, 2017. Our portfolio performance remained steady in the quarter, with growth of 2% for rental revenue and 1% for net operating income compared to the first quarter of 2016. This growth was driven by the densification of a retail site in May 2016, offset by lower occupancy and weighted average base rent than the comparable period last year. Our operating margin was 60%, slightly down from the prior period's 61%. FFO and AFFO increased by 2% and 6% respectively compared to Q1 2016 for both dollar amounts and per unit amounts. With our position in our credit facility and the sale of an asset subsequent to the quarter, we remain well-positioned to take advantage of opportunities as they arise. I will now turn the call over to Darren Rayburn.
Thank you, Naomi, and thank you to all of our team who continue to perform and produce results as we continue to successfully navigate these economically volatile times. It's been a pleasure serving our unitholders as your CEO over the past 4 years, and I very much look forward to continuing to serve in my role as Melcor REIT trustee. Now I'd like to officially pass the call over to Andy Melton, the new President and Chief Executive Officer of the Melcor REIT.
Thanks, Darren, and thank you, Naomi. It is my pleasure to report on the first quarter 2017 for the REIT. This is my first time reporting as President and CEO. You may recall that I was previously the Chair of the Board, which is now being held by Ralph Young, a long-term Melcor REIT trustee and also a long-term employee of Melcor Developments. Our portfolio continues to perform steady thanks to dedicated efforts of our team of operators, property managers, and portfolio administrators. This has been due to a large part to Darren and Naomi's great guidance over the past 4 years. Our performance highlights of the first quarter include stable property income and with revenue up 2% and NOI growth of 1% over the first quarter 2016. Our AFFO grew 6% due to higher NOI and lower financing costs over the comparative period. We also enjoyed stable occupancy in all classes and operating regions with, and I highlight, over 90,000 sq ft of new and renewed leases completed in the quarter. Occupancy is stable at 92.5%, and our retention is a healthy 75%. At 73%, our payout ratio continues to demonstrate our overall health and our ongoing ability to maintain distributions. Subsequent to the quarter, as Naomi mentioned, we completed the sale of LC Industrial, which was a 76,000 sq ft building in Lethbridge, for $7.75 million, including transaction costs. We acquired this property from an unrelated party in 2014 for $6 million and change. This recycling of capital combined with our cash position and the capacity of our credit facility gives the REIT a healthy working capital position. While we see some indications of a more positive outlook for our province and by extension our business, we remain cautious and watchful. We can't predict the future, nor can we say with certainty that the province and ourselves have hit the bottom. We just don't know. What we do know is that if we're prepared to continue to prudently and conservatively manage our investments for the long term, as we have done this quarter and since the inception of the company, we will do just fine. What we also know is that if this is the bottom, we're in fantastic shape. In closing, I'd like to say that I look forward to working with Melcor Development's team and continue the progress, our growth strategy through 2017. At this time, I'd like to open up the phone lines to take your questions.
Thank
Paul,
you.
Open up the lines.
Certainly. Thank you very much. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you are using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on the telephone keypad, and anytime you wish, you can cancel that question by pressing the pound sign. So please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while participants register. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Dean Wilkinson from CIBC World Markets. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Morning, everybody.
Morning, Dean.
I guess my first question is for either Andy or Darren or both together. You know the question, right? So go ahead.
Right. The question about the transition, Dean?
Yep.
Why don't you ask a specific question so I can specifically answer it?
What was the thought process of sort of moving you back over to development and sort of, you know, you've got 4 years here and obviously you've been with the company for a long time. Was it just felt that you'd sort of achieved what you wanted to or is there sort of another take on that?
Sure. Well, Dean, I mean, first of all, the Melcor REIT is the largest single asset that Melcor Development owns, so it's always been intertwined. And in the offices here, Melcor Development and Melcor REIT are quite intertwined as well. So from a transition perspective, it's actually very seamless. I mean, Andy and I have been working, you know, with Naomi and prior to Naomi with John Chia in lockstep in creating the REIT and running the REIT.
Mm-hmm.
So this is more of a structural optics change than it is a practical operational change. Does that make sense?
It does. It just sort of, I don't know, like, I guess... Why?
Okay, fair enough. Thank you. Also, from Melcor Development's perspective, I mean, we had a gap. Ryan Baker, our CEO, retired.
Right, okay.
So the board from Melcor Development and the board from Melcor REIT discussed what they thought was best for both companies, and you know, I'm thankful that they chose me. But part of the condition is, you know, they are one company, even though we operate them as two, and I'm still fully involved.
Fair enough, fair enough. It's in name, right? So that's we can work with that. Question for Naomi, just on the true ups that came in the expense recoveries, and this sort of happens every Q1. What was the dollar amount associated with that, and were there any runoff expenses that were also attributed to that recovery?
To be honest, Dean, I don't have the dollar amount off the top of my head. That is something I can provide to you after. I do think, you know, we are sort of conservative in our accruals at year-end, and so you're right. We have seen this adjustment come through a few times. It's really hard at year-end to accurately estimate exactly how those recoveries are going to shake out in time to get all the reporting out for the year-end date.
Sure.
But I can get back to you on an actual dollar amount if you'd like.
If you don't have to go sort of digging under mountains and stuff.
No,
I would assume that it's probably the difference between the 9% bump and the 5% increase in the expenses. Like the 4% is probably just that net recovery amount that we won't see running through the remainder of the quarters.
That makes sense.
Okay, that works. And then just the last one is clarify for me the cash flows on the sale of the asset. So it's 7.75. The mortgage of 2.6 was assumed. You're taking back a VTB of 900,000. Is that correct? So net cash is somewhere in the area of 4 million.
Correct.
And then what are the terms related to the head lease? How does that run exactly?
Sure. So there's 8,000 square feet of space that's currently occupied, but we know the provincial government is not renewing their lease in October.
Okay.
So the commitment we made with the vendor is that if the space is not relet by October, that the REIT would head lease it for 1 year at the rate that the government's paying now, which is $6 a foot. What's interesting is we do have very serious prospects in the wings, so stay tuned, but our anticipation is we will not have a head lease obligation November 1st.
So you have the ability to lease up the space to their satisfaction, I assume, and then that gets you off the hook there.
Correct, and we're very specific on the negotiations, and you know we know the vendor very well, and that was just the agreement that we did to complete the deal.
Okay, I guess worst case situation, if it doesn't, it just nets off the interest on the VTB against the head lease obligation.
Correct.
Okay. That's it for me. Thanks, guys. I'll hand the call back over.
Thanks for the questions, Dean.
Thanks, Darren.
Thank you. The next question is from Michael Smith from RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning. So you sold the building for a 7.75 cap rate. What did you buy it at?
That was the purchase price.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, we sold it for $8 million less fees. It was about $7.75 million. So from a cap rate perspective, and Michael, you know I like to talk in ranges.
Right.
So we bought it at a 9-ish cap and sold it at a 6-ish cap.
Okay, 9-ish and 6-ish. Okay, that's quite the spread. And
Michael, that wasn't. I should just highlight that was the result of quite a bit of work as well. We re-tenanted the building, renewed a lease, expanded a tenant. So there was quite a bit of management work that went behind that.
Oh, okay. Okay, so it was a value creation property, a value add property.
Correct.
Okay. And so, you know, you had a few more fair value marks in the quarter. Like, how do you see that coming out for the balance of the year? Is the market starting to stabilize in terms from a valuation point of view?
Well, the fair value reductions that we saw in the first quarter were entirely downtown Edmonton.
Okay.
So to answer your question of how we see it shaping out, you know, it's no secret. We talk about this every quarter. There's a lot of vacant space coming in downtown Edmonton. However, as you saw, and thank you for your note this morning, we're still at 92.5% occupied, which includes our downtown Edmonton portfolio. So time will tell. I know
yep.
The Dream Office sales have created a litmus test that the appraisers are trying to use as valuations, which I'm not sure that we completely agree with that. But having said that, we'll see what happens with the next sale in downtown Edmonton.
Okay, and I guess from your point of view, like you would make the argument that the Dream Office sales are not good comps because of the rationale for selling, or is it any other reason, or?
I think that we wouldn't think it's indicative of market value because AIMCO bought two of the buildings that are going to be empty. So the question is, are they using it as owner users, or are they going to repurpose them?
Mm-hmm.
And the other two buildings that were sold as well, unique assets in a unique market. So just our opinion, Michael, but we don't feel that that's indicative of values.
Okay, great. And just for the balance of the year, how do you see leasing? Is it steady as she goes, like the last few quarters, in terms of renewal rates, leasing spreads, occupancy?
Let's leave downtown Edmonton out of it till the end of my answer.
Okay.
With the exception of downtown Edmonton, I can tell you suburban Edmonton, Calgary, Regina, Kelowna, Lethbridge, Red Deer are all very consistent.
Mm-hmm.
We have not, in retail, we've not seen any lease rate compression. So that's very consistent going forward. From an office perspective, again, excluding downtown Edmonton, we're very consistent, including Regina. And you'll remember we had a blip in Regina with a big tenant leaving three quarters ago that we've relet.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, consistent there, too. Now, as far as downtown Edmonton is concerned, from a Melcor REIT perspective, we only had 57,000 square feet expiring in downtown Edmonton in 2017 anyways.
Mm-hmm.
We completed 35,000 square feet of that already.
Right.
So, generally speaking, we see some volume. I can tell you maintaining lease rates in downtown Edmonton in today's environment is a challenge. Inducements
yep.
have gone up, and rates are going down.
Right, right. No, that makes sense. And just lastly, do you see yourself selling any more assets?
Michael, it's Andrew. I think we continually look at the portfolio on an asset-by-asset basis, and there is no intention to list or to put a property out in the market, but we're constantly looking at it to see where they are in their cycle, and it's kind of an ongoing analysis.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the questions, Michael.
Thank you. The next question is from Kyle Stanley from National Bank Financial. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone.
Hi, Kyle.
I'm just wondering if you're starting to see any more opportunity to acquire distressed assets, in particular with the Walton Group filing for creditor protection earlier this week. Just wondering kind of if you're seeing any changes in the market since we last spoke.
Thanks, Kyle. It's Andrew. Those type of opportunities that would present themselves from a land perspective would be more of interest to Melcor Developments, our major shareholder.
Right.
Everybody on the call knows that the REIT's more interested in income. The kinds of assets that, which is a very interesting phenomenon, which you're all aware of, the kind of assets that the REIT would be interested in are still trading at very aggressive cap rates. So my best guess is that unless something were to come around the corner that would caught us off guard, there's not going to be a lot of opportunities for the REIT to find distressed assets that we can actually put into the REIT portfolio.
Okay, that makes sense. And I think that's it for me, so I'll turn it back. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question. The next question is from David Crystal from Desjardins Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, David.
Most of my questions have been answered at this point. Just going to comment on the leasing front. You mentioned that inducements and leasing costs in general are a little higher given the environment. Have you got a budget for total capital spend, including TIs and leasing costs for full year 17?
We do have a budget. We don't release that as guidance. Obviously, we try and stick to it. So, David, if you'd like to sort of have more detailed information, I don't have it in front of me, we can have that conversation offline. But I can tell you that we have accounted for these increased costs because it's not a new phenomenon for 2017. We noticed this in the second quarter of 2015 and saw that trend continue.
So broadly speaking, would it be decent to maybe look at 15, 16 and add a little bit of an increase as a run rate?
I would, but my only caution is our leasing volumes in 15 and 16 because of vacancy was higher.
Yeah.
We're higher in 15 and 16 too, so you can't just look at the total numbers. It's important to look at the amount of space that's expiring, the amount of vacant space that we have. Without a doubt, though, David, like we've seen a slowdown in new leases, and we're focusing mainly on keeping the clients that we have in our portfolio now.
Okay, which would typically be cheaper, I would expect.
Correct. Correct.
Okay, great. That's helpful. That's all for me. Thank you.
Thanks for the question, David.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting back to the speakers.
Thanks, everyone. It's Andrew Melton. Just appreciate the chance to talk to our reporter. We're very, very pleased with the results. It's a culmination of a lot of hard work and dedication by our team. And I just want to tell you how much we appreciate your interest and work you do on our behalf.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. And we thank you for your participation.